Mystery Crate has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Attention, Mystery Craters. Hello.
I got all sorts of energy because I'm back to the Mystery Crate. Took a little week off because I had a secret baby, but now
Sabie.
I am back. And boy, am I riled up for this week's Mystery Crate. And I brought a special guest with me for this intro.
Baby?
No, Stugatz.
Hey!
Chris has been sitting on Sabie for 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks.
For a secret baby?
Yeah, Sabie? He's been holding into Sabie for such a long time.
He's been workshopping Sabie.
Just waiting for the right moment to drop a Sabie in there.
Really jumped at the opportunity.
Yeah.
This is a really special edition of the Mystery Crate. Let me tell you why.
Why?
Because there are big name athletes in this week's Mystery Crate.
Really?
Big name athletes.
What do you got?
Talking to members of the Shipping Container.
Really?
Yeah. You may know him as Airplane Mode. Or you may not. But let me tell you, Derek Jones Jr.
Oh, yes.
Of the Miami Heat will be joining this week's Mystery Crate. As well as, is this a surprise? I don't want to give... Okay, here it goes. Canadian basketball superstar, Kelly Olynyk.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
He's basically the Kelly Olynyk of Canada.
Yes. There's a golf, you're right. A golf clap is apropos.
Yes. And then another edition of You Never Know. So this is going to be a really fun episode of the Mystery Crate. Chris and Billy went out to Heat Media Day, and they actually talked to some people, and they had fun. Just a banter you know and love.
What we did was we treated them like an egg, and we cracked them open, and we got the goods.
What?
We treated Derek Jones Jr.
You,
and Kelly Olynyk.
That's how you would treat like an egg. You'd you care for an egg.
No.
If you crack an egg, you essentially are killing
you put
the
it
egg.
In, yeah,
trying to
put
make
it
breakfast.
Like something that's soft, like a
you
nest.
Crack it open. Yeah. That's what you do. Can you guys crack an egg open with one hand? That's hard.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Easily.
What? No. That's flexing. If you do it with one hand, that's just like you're like, I can cook. I'm a boss.
No, you got big hands.
Like the chefs at Benihana, they could do it with one hand.
They
right?
do it. They have one egg in each hand. They're like,
yeah, two eggs, boom, see it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what I can do.
I can't do that.
I don't believe that Roy and Mike can do that. They're just.
I got huge hands.
They want to be the egg guy.
I don't think it has anything to do with the size of your hands.
It absolutely does help.
No, it doesn't.
You know what? Next week in the Mystery Crate Open, we're going to crack eggs live on. During, on the show.
You think I'm playing? You think I'm telling a yoke? Hiring can be a slow process, everybody.
What?
As Cafe Ultura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, found out when
he
needed
to hire...
I want
to get to know this Miskowitz guy.
A director of coffee for his organic coffee company. And he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So guess what? He switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. No, it finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. So you get qualified candidates and fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. It's Chris.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Hey, Chris.
What?
Oh, yes.
What?
Yes. I know last week he said he had to resign from the position, but then he reapplied.
I love coffee. Yeah. I love it. I couldn't get enough.
You know what? It
His
was a
job
separation.
Has no security.
It was a separation. Weird. No, he was so qualified, and thankfully, ZipRecruiter existed that Dylan was able to find a replacement for Chris, but then the job that the director of coffee did wasn't good enough because it paled in comparison to the job Chris did.
Sure.
So now Chris applied for the job again because of his passion for coffee, and now, guess what? Director of coffee.
Oh, wow. Man, amazing. And your boss is Dylan Miskowitz.
Yes.
I drank so much coffee today. I'm so jacked for this job. It's so exciting.
Here's
love coffee.
Here's the thing about Miskowitz that he doesn't realize. He forced himself out of the job because he used ZipRecruiter and found someone so qualified that he's soon going to be unemployed and have to use ZipRecruiter on the other end.
Uh-oh.
And with results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is so effective for businesses of all sizes. Try out ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/crate. That's ZipRecruiter.com/CRATE. E. Thank God, Sugatsu, notice he sat that one out.
I don't know. It spelled great.
ZipRecruiter.com/crate. ZipRecruiter. Sugats, ZipRecruiter. Go tagline. Alley-oop, ZipRecruiter.
The smartest way to hire.
My dude. Coming up next, an interview with Airplane Mode and Canada's own Kelly Olynyk.
All right, we are joined now by Derek Jones Jr., number 5 for the Miami Heat. How'd you get number 5, man?
I wore 10 when I was in Phoenix, and everyone knows 10 here is retired, so
yeah.
I just cut that in half.
Did you send an email, like, you think we could take this down from the Raptors just so I can get number 10?
Nah, that's a great player that they retired that for, yeah. Great player that they retired that for, so, you know, I just cut that in half, and I just made it 5. Yeah.
I was listening to Spo's press conference earlier, and he said that nobody logged more off-season workouts than you this off-season, and that they wanted you to come back looking like Scottie Pippen. Now, to me, you look great. What was the method behind all the off-season workouts?
I was just in here just working on my game, doing whatever I can to improve my game for my team. And, you know, just being in the gym, it's my happy place.
Right.
You know, I love being in the gym. I mean, I'm a gym rat, so... Yeah. I mean, it's no other place that I want to be. So
now, I have this strategy sometimes with my work. Sometimes on the weekends, I'll come in and I'll clock in, and then I'll just like go out and like get a bite to eat. So my boss thinks I'm working.
But yeah.
Do you ever do that where you log in and then you're like, you know what, I'm gonna go get a little breakfast?
You think he comes in, he has to clock in every day to play basketball, and then he clocks out. He takes a swim outside in the water, comes back.
You want to impress Spo though. Everyone wants to impress their boss, so it's like, all right, I'll clock in.
I don't think Spo is checking like timesheets to see what people are coming in and out.
Well, apparently he was, because he said he logged more workouts than anybody this offseason.
That's what we call a fake gym rat right there.
There you go.
See, I ain't no fake gym rat.
Fim rat.
I'm a real gym rat. Exactly. I'm really in here for real.
Nah, man, I'm looking at myself in the mirror there. I figured that you.
This team seems to have a lot of gym rats. Like, yeah. Jimmy Butler seems to be in here a lot.
Yeah, we always in here, man. We got 24/7 access.
Yeah,
why not being here? I mean, we here to be great. I mean, it's the culture. We all want to be great, so why not being here working?
Do you ever just like wake up like during the summer with all those workouts? Was it ever just like I woke up, it's 3 a.m. I'm just gonna get up and go to the gym, or is it always like normal times?
There's times I've woken up in my life and it was just random in the middle of the night and just went to the gym just to get some shots up, just to clear my head. And I mean, it's a lot of times that people, I mean, you're going through things and, you know, the only thing that you can clear your head with is going to the gym and getting some shots up, or just taking your frustration out on the court. And that's what I like to do.
How do you feel about your nickname, Airplane Mode?
I love it.
Really?
I love it.
The thing is about Airplane Mode, I like the nickname. I like the idea of the nickname.
Yeah.
But Airplane Mode is one of, like, the most ineffective modes for your phone. You can't really do anything. So, like, I feel like it's a cool nickname, but if you think about it, it's like,
I understand where you're coming from, but, I mean, if you really think about it, Airplane Mode, you only could be on Airplane Mode is when you on a plane.
That's true.
And when you're on a plane, how high up are you? That's how high I jump.
Now, is there any chance of you getting ever doing a dunk contest? Because like
he's been in the dunk contest. He was in dunk. You
rookie
were runner
year.
Up. Yeah, rookie year. You're runner up 2017.
That's not a good look for me right now.
Nah, you know. The good thing about this is tapes. So we'll just clean this up.
You can edit that.
Yeah. Is that like a highlight for you? Like a career highlight that you accomplished your rookie year? Because growing up, everybody. I mean, look at me. Does it look like I could ever dunk a basketball?
I mean, you never know. In your younger days, you probably could.
Wait, how old do you think I am? Are you saying that I'm old?
Nah, I'm not. I don't guess ages.
All right, you're from Philadelphia, right?
Well, hold on. So that's a goal I think everybody has. Like you do it, trampoline, pool, whatever, and you did it your rookie year.
Nah, I mean, I always told my dad that I'd be a dunk contest winner. I mean, to participate in it was a blessing. And, you know, I achieved being there, but I didn't achieve my goal. So if they call me back, I'm going to go achieve my goal.
How does that work? Like, how do you get back in it? They have to call you, or you start telling people, like, hey, Adam Silver, hey, Adam, you know, remember me.
I guess you got to show out during the season. I mean, whoever had the most dunks. I mean, whoever had the most flashy dunks, I mean, fan favorite. I guess that's how they do it. I mean, I don't know.
You got to put on a show pregame. That's what I'm thinking, is every day you go out there and you just start practicing different dunks. But you got to do it like hours before. Like when you're here, don't worry about shooting or any of that stuff. Just work on your dunks so then you can get into the dunk contest and then you can complete that promise to your dad.
Nah, I'd rather be in the three-point contest now.
Really?
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
Now, we had someone on our show once compared you to DeAndre Jordan. And I know that's not, because you're more of like a wing guy as well, but like as far as when you get to the basket, what do you like think of when you hear someone make that comparison? Is that a terrible comparison or is it decent?
You mean dunking wise?
Just in general, just like around the hoop more, like when you're attacking the rim.
No, I mean,
because he's more of just like a center. You're kind of like a wing guy.
Yeah, I ain't got no problem with DJ. DJ my guy, but yeah, nah, that's
not that similar to games.
Nah, yeah. Our game is totally different.
And you're from Philadelphia, right?
Chester, PA.
Okay, but like right close. Outside, like, yeah, so, yeah. Like, you into Philly cheesesteaks at all?
Something like that.
Kind of. All right, I just want to throw this guy's little business out here a little bit. Are you cool with people putting mustard on Philly cheesesteaks?
Why not?
That's disgusting.
What do you mean? Have you ever done it? Wait, hold on a second. Okay. She's from Philadelphia, and she's a snob. Really, she thinks that she knows everything about Philly cheesesteaks.
No, I don't think I know everything. I just think it's unacceptable.
Yeah, that's very. Yeah,
you have you ever done it?
No, you can't.
Because he knows it's not.
You will not. You will not be able to be in Philadelphia and buy a cheesesteak and put mustard on it and think that the workers aren't going to come take the cheesesteak from you.
They're all judging you.
Listen to me, Derek. I'm not a crazy person. When I'm in Philadelphia, I'm not doing that. No. When I'm in Philadelphia, I'm not going to do that because I know what's going to happen. I'm not going to do it there. But down here, you know, because the Philly cheesesteaks aren't good down here. They're not real Philly cheesesteaks.
It's not the same at all.
You do Whiz when you do it up there?
Nah, American cheese. Nah, I don't like that cheese.
That's okay.
Wow.
I mean, I've had it multiple times. But, nah, I'm not a big cheese whiz kind
of
guy.
Is that acceptable for you?
Yeah, of course it is.
They give me so much.
I'm telling you right now, like about the way that I eat things and the way that I do this, and I can't do anything right.
He puts mustard on a cheesesteak.
Yeah, that's not.
But it's
that's
good.
It's weird.
Look, next time you get a Philly cheesesteak, can you even eat Philly cheesesteaks anymore? You probably can't eat Philly cheesesteaks.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I mean, I'm probably in the stage where I could eat whatever I need to eat to gain some weight, but nah, I try not to eat
enjoy
that much
it.
Stuff. Yeah.
When you're old like me, you can't eat whatever you want.
I hope
you.
I can.
No, you can't. Your metabolism's gonna catch up to you.
I mean, so you honestly kind of just answered my question. You said you're old.
Well, I'm not. I mean, what do you consider old?
I don't know. I mean, what do you consider old?
I mean, I'm 32. Is that old? Wait, am I 32?
Nah,
I don't know.
I got a couple teammates that's 32. They ain't old. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Dwayne Wade was like 33, 34. How old was Dwayne Wade? Like 36 when he retired?
I don't know.
Look, if I was a basketball player, I'd already be towards the tail end of my career.
True.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get you out of here on this one. Now, we're asking everybody this. If you could have your hand be a condiment dispenser, these are the only five condiments you could have for the rest of your life. What five condiments are you going with?
That's a tough
mustard,
question.
Mustard, obviously, for your Philly cheesesteak.
No. Probably barbecue sauce,
yeah.
Ketchup, ranch.
Oh, gotta go ranch. Two more. Now, is butter a condiment?
I don't use butter that much. Yeah, I don't use butter like that, though. I mean,
we ask the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah. I eat a lot of... Hey, my chef make me a couple of turkey burgers. I have Mick put a little spicy mayo on them. So
you have a chef? What else do you have? Like, what other cool perks do you have, like, as an NBA player?
We're just trapped in
here. that's probably it. I mean, just got a chef. That's all.
Yeah.
Just for someone. Nice.
Tell your chef put a little mustard on the Philly cheesesteak and your mustard.
Do you just, like, wake up in the morning, you text your chef, like, oh, let me get a little scrambled egg?
He looks like Jesus.
Right? Yeah. Kelly Olynyk, right?
Yeah.
I guess we're going to talk to Jesus now.
We'll transition right here.
Yeah, it is Jesus right here.
Go from Derek Jones to Jesus. How's it going?
Hey, come on, sit down, Jesus.
Are we going to talk together?
Can we talk together?
No, you're supposed to rap with you. It's up to you.
No,
it's up
sorry.
To
you. Give you guys a few minutes.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Now, what we were just talking about first, you're a foodie, right?
I love food.
Yeah.
Now, I need someone to have my back on this because they're giving me
this is disgusting, bro.
You see, but you're already tainting this. You're already telling him this is going to be bad. So now he's going into it thinking negative.
This is disgusting.
You Philly cheesesteaks?
Do I eat them?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had them before.
Okay, and what do you get on your Philly cheesesteak?
Cheese and steak?
Yeah, but do you put any condiments or anything? I put mustard sometimes on my Philly
mustard?
Cheesesteak.
Mustard?
Thank you.
No,
judge
man.
Thank you. I could just leave
so
on
So, like,
that.
If
this
you...
Edited,
I could
leave
curse.
On... I can
I
leave...
I mean, that's like I going can... to, like, a steakhouse and asking for, like...
Ketchup.
Yeah,
that's
ketchup
just because
for
you
steak.
Told him that this is going to be disgusting that he did. No, you told him that. You tainted it.
Basically, it's like cheese and steak, and like some people put like onions or something, maybe, but like
that's cool, yeah.
Nah, that's messed up.
Well, we were just asking him if you could have like if I have this weird game where I'm making your hands condiment dispensers. It's the only five condiments you can have for the rest of your life. So you have to think about this. But so you get five, you get them as much as you want. What five condiments are you going with? We asked the hard hitting stuff here.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like what?
It's like a ranch, ketchup, barbecue. Like you know, just
you
like,
gotta think about it.
Maybe you guys see you guys are in good shape. Do you guys just like you're not into?
I mean, I don't eat like a lot of condiments.
Can you eat whatever you want?
I would have like guacamole
diets?
Probably.
See, there you go.
That's a good one, right?
Butter, no. Butter condiment.
I don't know. Soy sauce. I'll put soy
there
sauce.
You go. See, we're opening. You know, we're cracking you open a little
sushi
bit.
Sushi guy.
I love sushi.
Yeah.
Now, are you into like? Do you judge me if the only kind of sushi I eat is like the ones that are like kind of tempura and stuff? Like you go, you're
like
probably just
super,
rice and fish,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's like super that's, mainstream American.
Yeah, like totally
yeah.
American.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Spicy mayo.
Exactly. Yeah, oh my god, so much. The cream cheese. Oh, yeah, so good. Yeah. Yeah. That's me.
Gross.
Nah. But yeah. What if basically you're a foodie? What like what's the best spot in Miami? Like not to just like name them, but like where's your like go to spot?
I need to know this too.
I mean that's like a loaded question. Right. First off, because it depends what you like.
Right.
Like if you like tempura, like I'm not going to send you to like this fire sushi spot that's all raw fish. You know what I mean? Because you'll be like that place sucks.
He also but can't like, tell you where he likes to eat because then everybody's going to know where he likes to eat. And then I imagine that you can't really walk around though in Miami without people knowing who you are.
Yeah,
you
not
don't
as
exactly
much anymore.
Fit in.
Yeah.
Nah, not at all. He's 7 foot.
Yeah.
He looks like Jesus.
He sticks out. He's 7 foot and look like Jesus. There
do you
go.
Guys, because you guys, like, when you walk in a room, most people are like, oh, okay, those guys are someone here. Like, do you guys ever have a spot where, like, someone knows who you are, but they don't know exactly who you are, so they think you're someone else? Like, have you ever been, like, mistaken for, like, another?
All the time when I go into Home Depot.
Who do they think you are? You're
just, they know that I'm
they
somebody.
They know you're somebody.
They just don't know
that
who
happens.
I am.
Especially when you're tall, it's like, like, I know that guy is, he has to be somebody. Airports are the worst for that.
Yeah.
They're like, and then one person takes a picture with you, and other people
everybody
are like,
wants to, and then they'll figure out who you are
like,
later.
Yeah, exactly. So we got to take a picture of this guy. Like, he's something, but I don't know, but we're going to figure it out later.
Nah, that's why I just ask them. When they ask me for a picture, I'm just ask them, what's my name? Yeah. If you can't tell me my name, why should I take a picture?
Exactly.
It's crazy. If you don't know who I am, you just want to take a picture with a random person.
To be honest, that's kind of how you felt about me when I didn't know you were in the dunk contest, right?
Nah, I mean, that's.
Bro, you're going back in it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm
well,
trying
I was
to
just
get
saying
done.
He should do it.
He says now that he wants to shift over and he wants to do a three-point contest. I told him that's a waste of time. I said, when
do
you're
both.
In here, because he's a gym rat.
That's true.
He claims. Is he a gym rat? He could just.
Yeah.
Okay, no, so he claims that he's in here working out a lot. So I
there
say,
gym rats.
You should just be working on your dunking. And pregame, you just got to do dunking. So the fans see you dunking and they're like, yo, did you see what he did in the pregame? We need him in the dunk contest again. Because he promised his dad he would win the dunk contest, but he didn't win. He lied to his dad. So,
we just
need to have a win.
Win.
Well, that's true, but so far, I don't want to say it, but a bit of a liar so far. So, we need to make him win the dunk contest so he has to get back in. So I'm telling him, when you're in the game, don't even worry about passing or shooting it. Just dunks. Just alley-oop it to yourself off the backboard, stuff like that.
I did that last year.
Look, we need you to be in on this with us. You need to help him get in to the dunk contest. So just be tossing him alley-oops.
I will.
Don't
do
worry
that,
about
bro.
The team.
I'll
that
do
doesn't
that.
Matter. It's about his dad right now.
Yeah, bro. You don't want to go down as a liar, bro.
I don't.
You're right. Man, I'm 22. I got about 4 more years to do it.
Yeah, 4 more good years of dunk shots.
Yeah, 4 more years of dunk shots to do it.
That's what I'm. But what happens if you make it again this year and
I'm gonna win?
God forbid you don't win, then you only have 3 more years to do it.
I'm gonna win.
And how many times are we gonna keep putting you in the dunk contest if you keep losing?
I mean, as many as they want. I put on a show every time. Every right. single time.
Now, I want to ask you guys a random question. It's a bet that I have with my friend. If the Miami Heat were forced to play me 20 minutes a game, how many games would we win this year?
Play you?
I could 20 minutes? Shoot a little bit.
You think you could play 20 minutes?
No, I mean, obviously it'd be embarrassing. I'm just saying, if like it was just forced to, you had to.
Am I here to be honest?
Yeah. So you guys
I mean,
win a game.
I don't
like,
know.
One
You've
player,
lied before.
My question here is one. First of all, I could dribble through my legs.
I mean, it ain't hard.
20 steps in a row.
It ain't hard. I mean, we could. You know, we could stick you.
Somebody, right?
Yeah, we could stick you in the corner.
That's
ain't
right.
no problem.
You'd have to just play zone.
Yeah. We have to be in zone.
I think every team should do that and have a fan play 20 minutes a game. And
how many games?
Maybe the preseason. We could.
Yeah, preseason.
Like
we could do preseason.
Test.
Yeah, beta test.
Yeah, we could
I'm
do preseason.
Sure. I'm not sure you can roll that out when it counts.
Yeah,
so
not regular
if
season.
If I was really out there when it counts, we would still win like you know maybe 10 games less than you would have.
Probably two.
Yeah, thank you. See, that's what I mean.
You think he'll lose 2 games? That's it?
Yeah, I'm gonna pick him up. We're gonna, me and Kay are gonna pick him up.
There's been some guys in this league that are basically like me out there. Come on, let's be honest.
No one
Kelly,
name
him.
Like you.
All right,
do
we'll
you get mistaken for Ed Sheeran?
Oh, and wow. My brother gets Ed Sheeran. Yeah. I actually get more the catcher from Sandlot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that's that Ed Sheeran, my brother. I get that a lot.
You were watching Sandlot last night?
Yeah.
What's your favorite part?
The beginning.
The beginning?
Yeah.
What happens at the beginning?
Nothing.
What?
I mean, he just said he was watching a movie. Now you're putting him on the spot. Yeah. His like favorite scene.
When the ball go over the gate, though, when they gotta go get that ball, it's
I'm more
over
interested
that.
In what you're no, doing
you,
at Home
you
Depot.
You gotta go fight that duck. Huh?
You said people always mistake you for someone else at Home Depot. How often are you at Home Depot?
I mean, almost every day. It's no, really
the handyman.
It's
bro.
Right around the corner from my crib every day.
You're doing a lot of handiwork. You have a chef. What do you mean you're doing handiwork? I don't believe it's, that you're like
love
building.
It's
some work. Chef's not like fixing your light sockets, bro.
It's some stuff that needs to be done around the crib. Yeah.
No, I don't. I cook.
Oh, you cook.
Yeah.
I ain't cooking nothing. Yeah. I ain't got time for all that.
Man, I need to get a chef. That's never going to happen, though.
No.
All right, man. It was good talking to you guys.
Likewise, brother. Enjoy.
Thank you.
So, guys, how incredible was that interview with Kelly Olynyk in Airplane Mode?
The best interview I have ever heard. Both of them.
Have you ever heard a better interview done by Chris or Billy?
Never, ever in my life.
What did I tell you? Cracked them open.
You did, like an egg.
Yep. Like an egg.
Mm-hmm.
Like an egg. And guess what? If you like those two guys talking to more Miami Heat players, you're in luck because you got a bunch of content. Oh, so you got to sprinkle it in the hour.
And
maybe
if you don't, you're out of luck.
You're out of luck because we worked hard on that. So we're
you're
not going to just
get one way or another.
Did you guys enjoy your time out there? It looked painful.
No, it was fun.
Okay, good. I was just checking.
All right.
I mean, we're not going to do the work. It's not just simply going to be like do the work and not air it. You got to. it's all airable.
Listen, we've aired a lot worse than this. I'm going to be honest with you.
Look, some you of it is that shit, no matter what. Yeah, is what you're saying.
Some of it is just like a little bit above okay. Some of it's good. Some of it's like good to quite good.
But it's work
that we did. And I don't know if you've noticed, we put out so much content. We're not really in the position to say, nah, it doesn't meet our standards.
Oh, man.
So, speaking of not meeting our standards.
We are a content churning machine, man. Yeah. I am exhausted.
I know. Well, Sue Gods, I really enjoyed Supodity this week. Check it out if you haven't already. Subscribe because at one point this was bigger than Oprah, and Sue Gods seems to think it's still bigger than Oprah.
Literally but... one point.
Yeah.
One point.
Yeah. It was a day and a half to 2 day stretch.
I'll take it. Hey, were you ever bigger than Oprah?
Nope.
I had a point.
Yeah. And guess what? In the interview request, it says it was the number one podcast in the world at one point.
It's a great selling point.
I think the point that it was the number one podcast was before there was even an episode.
No, episode
I think there
zero.
Was just like a teaser, like, hey, I'm Stu Gatz, I'm going to have a podcast. Boom, number one.
Actually,
in the
it was back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
It was Sub-Zero, right?
Yeah.
Is that what we call
no,
it?
No, episode zero.
Okay. Why did it go Sub-Zero? I was thinking about the ice cream place.
Oh, really? I was thinking about the Mortal Kombat ninja.
Really?
Yeah.
There's an ice cream place called Sub-Zero. Wow. Delicious. Anyway, so zero, episode zero, I was number one. And then after the first episode, I still was number one after that.
Yeah. Okay? And the first episode wasn't great, so that's why I dropped off.
I forget what I did for the first episode.
I mean, where's Abby?
Well, she's not getting paid.
So, speaking of things that are good to quite good, here is this week's edition of You Never Know. What are we talking about in this week's edition of You Never Know?
We're talking about how weird Greg Cody is, but the special thing about this episode of You Never Know is we get a little Roy and Billy sprinkled in there. Usually, You Never Know, it's just my dad and I. We got a little Billy, little like Roy and Billy are salt and pepper this week.
Nice.
Sprinkle a little Roy and Billy on
Which
the You
one
Never
am
Know.
I?
Pepper.
Yeah, I'm good very job. Salty.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. You know what? I like a sprinkle, but you better let me know when there's a dollop.
Yeah, that's true.
What are things you can only dollop sour cream? Is that true? I feel like you can only dollop whipped cream or sour cream.
Yeah.
You can't dollop salt and pepper.
How do you guys spread sour cream on a taco? Because it's kind of weird. Do you like put it on like the tortilla and then spread it around with a spoon?
So I do a knife. I go right down the middle and then I spread that out to each side evenly.
Guys.
You know?
Guys, do you know that there are squeezable bottles of sour cream?
Wow.
No way.
So you got to do this for the taco. You get one straight line on the top. You put it as like the finishing garnish.
See, that's how I do it. My wife, the first thing she puts on her soft tortilla is... sour cream. She like spreads it like it's butter around the whole
with a spoon.
Like yeah, spoon or knife, either one. Mm. But yeah, that's interesting.
I'm telling you, you got to get the squeezy bottle of sour cream.
I do it like you. It's always the last thing on the taco. It just like finishes it off.
It's the first thing for me.
Wow.
I layer it and then I put the stuff on there.
It's so tricky though. You're either doing it with a fork, a spoon, or a knife. And sometimes I like to do it with a spoon actually to get a nice spread on it, but sometimes I'm cracking the hard shell. So then I learned there's got to be a better way for Taco Tuesdays for me to get my sour cream in here. And certainly enough, there's the squeeze bottle of sour cream, which I highly recommend.
Hmm. I will take you up on that recommendation. Squeeze bottles changed everything.
Here it is. You never know.
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 You never know. You never know.
You never know.
You never know. You never know.
All right, it's been a while since we recorded some You Never Know, and I really wanted to, and I've made a little list of some topics that I really want to tackle with you, things that you've done recently that I want to bring up on air. First thing is we were out to dinner recently, and you were talking about a place we were at was a place you had a soft boycott on. But I thought to myself, we're at this place right now.
Right.
So how could you have a boycott? But then you said to me that there's a difference between a soft boycott, a hard boycott.
Yes.
What's going on here? Why are you boycotting restaurants, and what's the difference between the two?
Well, it's my little thing. You know, it takes a bunch of little things to make a big thing. And for the same reason that I've completely boycotted plastic straws because of their impact on the environment, a full boycott is I don't go there. I do not go to restaurant A under any circumstances. Mm-hmm. A soft boycott is I'm never going to choose to go there. It's never going to be my idea. But if a friend of mine says, hey, let's meet for lunch at so-and-so, I'll go. That's a soft boycott.
What are the factors that lead into both of these boycotts?
Usually it's a lack of service.
No, I think Roy brings up a good question, though. Like, like a hard boycott, obviously, if a place pisses you off, that's going to be a hard boycott.
Right.
But, like, where's the zone for, like, you know what? I have a problem with this place, but it's only a soft boycott. Like, how do you get a soft boycott places?
Well,
he doesn't even know.
I've had a soft boycott against this certain famous gas station type of gas for years related to a notorious oil spill.
I wonder what he's talking
about. The reason it's a soft boycott is if I'm running out of gas and this is the only gas station for miles, of course I'm going to stop there and get gas there. But I'm never going to voluntarily elect to go there. When it comes to a restaurant, if I've gone there twice, and I've had bad, terrible, rude service, or the food's been terrible, I'm going to boycott that place. But it's probably a soft boycott.
I totally get what he's going for here.
Yeah.
Like, I've been down the hard boycott, soft boycott, all-out boycott situation on numerous occasions. And it all comes down to how much do I actually like the place and how convenient is it for me to boycott this place.
Right.
And sometimes it's not even like a chain or whatever, it's just particular locations. Now, the problem with boycotting particular locations of stores or whatever is that typically those are the stores that I visit more frequently, so it becomes more of a pain to me to boycott those places. So then the boycott will eventually end after I get tired of going out of my way to avoid these situations that are more convenient for me.
That's a fair comment by Billy. I will say that a lot of my soft boycotts now are political in some way. And to give you a quick example, totally random example. Oh, boy.
All right, we're going to change subjects from that. You mentioned earlier your boycott on straws.
Yeah. Whoa. You got to get a question, buddy.
Respect. Yeah, I was wondering about the rummaging. Wow. It is You Never Know, so they have their own rules.
It's my bad. If you could disinvent one thing, what would it be?
Disinvent. Okay.
Wow. What do you guys think life would be like if phones never existed? Where would we be?
Bones?
We would be sending letters.
Bones.
I said bones.
That would also be difficult to exist.
Yeah, we would be sending letters more often, basically.
I don't have anything good for this. What do you guys want disinvented?
Well, I would say this. I would disinvent the electric toothbrush, which for me is the epitome of laziness.
Really?
If you're too lazy to go like this
for
a half a minute or a minute, come on.
This is it cleans your teeth better.
That's to be argued.
Have you been to the dentist recently? Anytime
yes,
you go to the dentist, if they aren't happy with like how clean your teeth are, they'll say to you, "Do you have an electric toothbrush?"
Yeah,
you should.
That's part of the con, though.
Yeah, but they're really not making
they
money
get,
off
no,
that.
No, they do. They get a kickback. They have to. Yeah. If they have the toothbrushes there and they're selling them to you, they get something out of selling you those toothbrushes. Now, I do have one, and I did buy it from the dentist, but the fact that they push it on you, like, this is the best one. It's like, well, oh, see, why don't you give me some options oh. here? It's like, no, this one. It's like, what are you getting
oh, see,
out of
that
this?
Is actually, that's shady. Like, my dentist doesn't offer them. They just said, hey, if you want your teeth to be cleaned better, go get an electric toothbrush.
I got a water pick.
Yeah,
recently.
That helped. That's what they say, too, about flossing.
I have no idea how to use it because yeah. I bought it online.
Intimidating.
And it didn't come with great instructions. And I got, like, a smaller one because some of them come with, like, these giant tanks.
Yeah.
So I got like a portable one that just has like a little water thing on it, but I don't know exactly how to use it because it didn't come with instructions. So like there's times that I'm doing it and obviously like, do I close my mouth? Because if I don't close my mouth and I take out the water pick, it's shooting water yes. all over the bathroom. It's on the wall. It's on the ceiling. It's on the mirror. And then if I close my mouth is filling up with water and I feel like I'm going to drown. So I have to find some sort of delicate balance where I have the water pick in my mouth. It's shooting my mouth and I'm like kind of dripping water out of the bottom of my mouth while the water's shooting. I'll let you guys know when I figure out how to use it, but I cannot figure out how to use this thing at all.
You could probably find the instructions online, Billy.
No, I can't. I've tried. And this came with instructions. So I read it because I wanted to figure it out. And it was basically like instructions on how to charge it, how to put the water in, things that are self-explanatory. I need to figure out more the process of right. how do I get the water in my mouth yes. and out of my mouth without either soaking my shirt, yes. the ceiling, the mirror, or making a giant
I'm
mess.
With you.
I also can't wash my face. Speaking of messes, I can't wash my face without making a huge mess. I don't know about you.
You mean
guys.
In the sink?
Like, yeah, in the sink. In the shower, obviously, you don't care. But in the sink, I don't know how you guys do it.
Wash my face that often.
Soap and water on my face, it gets all over the counter, around the sink, it gets all over my hands.
Is this early morning that you're doing this? Like, when do you need to wash your face? Like, don't you just, I shower and I don't wash my face until my next shower.
No, sometimes I'll just be like, you know what? I need a good mask today or I'm going to put on a scrub or an exfoliant. So I need to wash my face first. And then it gets all over the place. That's why I like the masks that peel off because then I don't have to kind of rub off like right. whatever gunk it is that I have on my face.
You know, you could use a rag, Billy.
Mm. Yeah.
Like a washcloth.
Yeah.
Right. Often called a face cloth, by the way.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier we were talking boycotts hard and soft and you said that you had a hard boycott against plastic straws. And I'm so glad you bring this up because this is another thing I had in my notes to bring up with you. We were at a restaurant recently and the waiter or waitress brings us our straws for our beverages. So Greg Cody says out loud, I am not using plastic straws. So he has a straw in his hand. It's covered with paper. So he doesn't know whether this is a plastic straw or a paper straw. So what he does is he opens it, realizes it's a plastic straw, and is like, oh, I'm not using this. Then I point out to him, do you realize that you just opened it and it's as if you used it? You have just hurt the environment by opening this straw. How do you have a hard boycott against straws when you open it?
Yeah, that was a lesson learned. You know, life is full of lessons learned. And that was a lesson learned because in the future, I'm going to redouble my efforts to do what I normally do, which is to ask the waitress, are these plastic or paper straws? And if she says they're plastic straws, then I hand it back to her. If they're paper straws, I enjoy the straw like nobody's business.
What'd you do with the straw? Did you hand it to Chris?
The straw stood there and got cleaned up like as if he used it.
Yeah.
That's so ridiculous. He's like, oh, wow. He's saying how he has this hard stance against plastic straws while using a plastic straw.
Well, I didn't use it.
But you opened it. Well, if you open it and take the wrapping off of it, it's as if you used it to the restaurant. It's going to go into the same garbage after and go into the same environment.
Hey, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, you opened it and then you placed it on the table, table. That's not really clean.
No, it isn't. I aired. I learned.
I have one more thing.
They all learn from me.
God. I have one more thing on my list of a very funny story that you recently shared with me. You told me about your first car and how you almost bought it, but you ended up in a haggling situation with the car dealership, and you ended up not buying it over the most petty thing ever. Do you remember this story?
I remember it well. It wasn't my first car. It was my first married car.
Okay, so go ahead. Tell us.
Yeah. Your mother and I were newly married. You know, you all hadn't come along yet. It was just she and I. We went to a deal. We knew we were going to have kids very soon, so we bought a minivan.
Yes.
Back then, minivans.
White Lightning.
Yeah, White Lightning. It was a Dodge Caravan, if I'm allowed to say that. But we went to the dealer. We negotiated a price. At the last minute, I decided, you know what? This was more money than I'd ever spent in my entire life. It was like a huge purchase. So I said, you know what? I'm saying this to the dealer. Upgrade my floor mats and we got a deal. Upgrade me from the vinyl, plasticky kind of floor mats to the carpeted, upgraded floor mats, which probably would have cost the dealer, I don't know, $40 at the time. Went to see his manager, wouldn't do it. So the salesman misses out on, at the time, it was probably $12,000, $14,000 brand new Dodge Caravan. I walk out. Your mother is like, cannot believe I'm doing that. She yells at me all the way home. Because we'd spent, you know, like you do when you're buying a car, we'd probably spent 45 minutes in the showroom and talking this. And
you had the car picked out. You were about ready to purchase this car.
We were this close to signing all the papers and buying this car, but they would not upgrade my floor mats. And so I walked out. And by the way, soft boycott on that place. Never been back.
Still.
It's the principle, man.
Thank you, Roy.
We're talking about floor mats here. Upgrade it.
Give me a little something.
Yeah.
But why would you, like, he went in there to get a car. Like, the same, like, it's $40. Like, why? What's the difference?
No. Here's the thing about getting a car that you need to understand, Chris, that I realized when I got my car and then I, you know, doubled down on and I gave my now wife the lecture when we went to get the car. I said, listen, we have a game plan here, okay? We do not need to buy a car from them.
Right.
They need to sell us a car.
Mm-hmm.
I can get a car anywhere.
That's true.
Anywhere. I don't need to buy a car from them today. So if this comes down to a thing where we're haggling over little things, I'll just go down the street and I'll get the car from somebody else. You need to sell me the car.
Yes.
I don't need to buy the car from you.
Yeah, but he wanted this van.
No, but he could get that van anywhere.
Anywhere. Exactly. Roy's right. It's a matter of principle. You know?
I know
this. Give me a little something. I'm spending $15,000 with you. Throw me a $40 upgrade on floor mats.
And why wouldn't they? I know this was a long time ago. But
I mean,
like, if this was that simple, it must have been more than $40 if like they weren't willing to budge.
No, this is 20, 30 years ago. I mean, I doubt if it was more than $40, but, you know, the salesman always acts like he's on your side. So he goes to see the manager. You know, who knows why the manager wouldn't do it? I think they were going to call my bluff. I think they didn't think I would walk out on the deal over this, and I did.
And the salesperson is trying to make a commission. So that salesperson lost out on a lot of money.
That's the thing,
exactly.
Is that they always make it seem like they're doing you a favor when it really benefits them the more you pay for the car than the less. I had a really bad experience buying a mattress one time. Mm. Because I went to like a mattress store, mm-hmm. and the guy was like really, really pushy, like with what he was, and he's like, I can get you this deal and that deal. And I'm like, oh, you know, well, I don't know. Like, this is the first place I came. I want to look around a little bit. And he goes, if you step out the door, this deal's done.
Wow.
Like, you're not going to get this deal again. I go, okay. And I just walked out the door because there was four more mattress stores within a mile of that place.
Trying
and
to play
I was like,
hardball.
This is not going to work out with me this way.
I'm experiencing a lot of stuff like this with furniture shopping because the last few months we've been looking just for all different kinds of stuff. As soon as you walk in that place, it's kind of like the car dealership. One salesman likes to like establish that you're theirs. So they walk up to you and they're like, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. If you need anything, I'm right here. I'm not going to smother you, but I'm here. I'm your guy. And then they just follow you. And then you start walking around the place and you just never lose sight of these. You turn around and he's over there just like creeping around the corner. Like, what's up? You make a decision yet? You good? And it's like, dude, just let me breathe.
Right.
I mean, I get it. They're just trying to, you know, claim their commission. I'm sure they take turns when people walk in. But it's just a pressure I feel. I don't want to, like, leave me alone. Like, can't I just...
You know what's a weird purchase for me in terms of, like, how much time you put into it? Like, you just bought a house, right? Uh-huh. Like, I was looking. We were going and you'd go to open houses and stuff like that. When you go to see a house, you basically have, like, 15 minutes.
Yes.
And then you're,
make
like,
a decision.
You're done with the house.
Yes.
Like, do I like this house? Am I going to offer a ton of money for this house? I just saw it for 15 minutes. Like, I walked through it really briefly.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go like a second time and I have to just decide. Where if I'm buying like shoes, I'll look at shoes like four or five times online before I'm like, I don't know that I want to get those shoes or not. And then eventually I'll get it. But how's go to a showing, an open house, in and out, 10 minutes. Do you want this house?
Right.
Do you not want this house?
And the realtors, they're so shady with trying to get you to leave your realtor. Oh, what are you doing here today? Where's your realtor? oh, they're not here. Oh, well, I'd be with you. If you were my client, I'd be with you right now. It's like, well, I don't want my realtor with me right now. I can look at a house without a realtor.
Yeah, it's a cutthroat business.
And it's just like, hey, take a look around. Do you need anything? And then, like, same thing. The realtors, like, they fall on you. It's like, I just want to look at the house.
But I also feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you've shopped for a house recently, and I sure haven't, but nowadays, can't you, like, go on Zillow or some realtor's website and, like, take a virtual tour just about any house out there?
Yes. I mean, you see all these houses online before, right. But it's not the same. Yeah. Like, you got to see it in person.
Yeah, the realtors have their own special program where all the information is there. You got to trust the realtor to give you the right information.
All right. Good parade.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
You never know.
Guys, I think this is one of the top 18 episodes of Mystery Crate.
Top 16, I'd say.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Pushing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because there was the Star Wars and Mean episode.
Yeah, we all agree. That's probably the weakest one.
Right.
Yeah.
But the one he did with Hank Azaria?
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Hank was great.
It was such an edit job.
Wow. Can't imagine.
Yeah. So if you're a fan of what we're doing here, again, we encourage you to subscribe, rate, review to the Mystery Crate, and anything on the Lebatard and Friends Network in your platform of choice. We're on Spotify. We're on TuneIn. We're on Apple Podcasts. Sugats likes Apple Podcasts, so, because that'll provide, like, the screen cap that says he's bigger than Oprah.
Yes, I like rankings. Like, I don't, you know, Spotify. Listen, you put it all into a bowl, right? Mm. Okay? It's like a tossed salad.
I've heard this analogy with the tossed salad.
Spotify, the ESPN app, iTunes, you know, you throw it all in there, and I have the biggest podcast in the world. That's it. I'm that bigger than Oprah.
There you go.